Amen. Amen. Hey, church, before you take a seat for the first time this year, say hi to a few people around you right now. Right now, say hello to a couple people around you. Give them high five. Give them hugs. Kids ministry. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Go to your classes. Go see Miss Dorothy. Go hang out with your teachers. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Say hi to more people. More people. Give them high fives. Give them hugs. Say Happy New Year. Say Happy New Year. There we go. That's awesome. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Look at all you wonderful people. Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Good morning, Christ Church. Happy New Year to you guys. You guys doing well? Nope. Nope. Hey, let's try that one more time. Hey, Happy New Year, Christ Church. How we doing? Thank you. I need your energy today, y'all. It's just the first Sunday of the year, all right? Let's keep the energy rolling and going. Happy New Year to you guys. I'm so excited to spend this year with you guys growing, maturing, and doing what the Lord has called us to do together with one another. Can you guys give me, you know, say hello to all of our friends who are watching online. Say hello to our online family. Online family, give us some thumbs up emojis. Do whatever. Let us know that you're here. Well, again, guys, it's the new year. So today we're starting a brand new sermon series called Committed. And this series is all about decisions, right? That this year is a year where we have to make intentional decisions. Decisions that will set the direction of our faith, set the direction of our relationships, set the direction of just our life as a whole. We're going to jump into that in just a little bit, but I just got a few announcements for you guys so you can stay up to date on everything that is happening, that is going on. It's the new year, so that means this Thursday we're kicking off our growth classes again, our growth nights on Thursday nights. Every Thursday, for those who don't know, maybe you're brand new, for those who don't know, we are intentional about helping you to mature in Jesus Christ, right? We do that more than just on a Sunday. Right, we do that more than just for an hour on a Sunday. We have other opportunities to do that. And one of those opportunities is Thursday evenings, every Thursday here at 6:30 p.m. This Thursday, we're doing the You Said Yes. What does it look like to follow Jesus? A little bit of content on Thursday is going to be found in today's message. So if you plan on joining in a Thursday, make sure you pay attention to today. I will be sharing some of those things. But also, next week, some people have been asking and wanting to know, we're going to be doing a Tough Questions night. Next week, we're going to be inviting our West Campus pastor, Chet Beatler, and I are going to be doing a Q&A on Christianity and science, right? Is Christianity compatible with science, right? Do they conflict? Is one more credible than the other, whatever it may be. If you're interested in that talk, come next Thursday, not this Thursday. Let me say it one more time. I want you showing up Thursday and getting all mad at me. I thought tonight was a night. No, it's next week. Pastor Chet and I are going to be doing a Q&A talking about Christianity and science. Bring your questions. Chet and I, we love answering questions like these. So bring your questions that you may want to know for next week for our growth. And a couple other things for you guys to mark in your calendar. We have baptisms coming up on the 25th, which we are excited for. If you're someone who is interested in baptism, you want to know more about baptism and what it looks like, make sure you sign up. It's for on the 25th. The best way to do that is to sign up online. So go ahead and check out the Christ Church Ohio website, sign up online. That's the best way to get connected for our next baptism. We also are doing a Winterfest. We got a lot going on this month, y'all. We got a Winterfest coming up. That's going to be doing our life group is going to be bringing in some chili, eating a bunch of food. It's just going to be a great, great, amazing time. I'm excited for you guys to participate and be a part of that. The goal is to get everyone a part of ministry life and serving and growing with one another. And then also, our wonderful friends have planted a couples group here at our campus. So if you're a couple, whether you're engaged, you're married, or just, you know, just in the dating phase right now, we have a couples group that meets every other Wednesday here at our church, 6:30 p.m. They're going to be starting their groups this this Wednesday. So make sure you come join if you're interested in that and you want to participate in an awesome community. Come see myself, my brother Irwin. He's in the back. He's my favorite Puerto Rican here, and love that. but it's just going to be a great time. I'm excited for you guys to join to be a part of that. Today, we're going to be jumping in to the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, beginning from verses 1 through 8. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We're going to be reading this. This is the start of our brand new sermon series on Committed. And it begins with the words of Jesus. Nothing like starting a year off with Jesus, y'all. So here we go. Here's what Jesus says. John chapter 15, verse 1. It says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the keeper of the vineyard. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, but every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, proving yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, plant us in your truth today. Today is not about hearing a man's wisdom. Today it's about hearing from the Spirit of the living God. Today is not about how encouraging I can be, but it's about how much your Spirit wants to be at work within each and every one of us. This year, Lord, is a year where we are anticipating a version of ourselves that we hope to accomplish and reach. But Lord, nothing is accomplished apart from you. Nothing is successful apart from you. So help us to be convicted in this truth. Help us to be rooted in this reality. And help us to make this our daily practice. Lord, let this not just be another sermon, but rather let this stir up a new way to live. Let this not be just another way to hear a comforting word, but let your word convict our hearts and move us in grace so we can walk in truth. Because you are full of grace and you are full of truth. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful and awesome name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. John chapter 15, love this particular passage. But we are starting this year off talking about commitments, right? We all have made a commitment in somehow, some way in the beginning of this year, right? And we all have personal commitments, and there are certain things that we want to accomplish, whether that's something we want to accomplish spiritually, relationally, financially, right? Whatever you name, we all are making commitments, right? And our commitments are only as good as our choices. Right? And we want to talk about this reality of what it looks like when it comes to our choices throughout this year. When I think about commitments, I think about my wedding day, right? I think about my wedding day. My wife and I just this past summer, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary. I'm not ready to write a marriage book yet. I'll write that in about 10 more years. But we celebrated 10 years of marriage, and man, it's been a grind, y'all. Like, you know, I love the woman, and I'm surprised she still loves me. And but it's been a grind, y'all. And that's just how marriage is. But I think about our wedding day and how awesome it was and how fun it was, spending with family and friends and loved ones and everything. And I remember the ceremony. I just find it interesting as a pastor who has been a part of weddings for a long time. People are so focused on the ceremony, which I get, right? Ladies, this is what you've been waiting for ever since you were a little girl, right? The dress and the pictures and the food and the decor and the all of that. Fellas, we're like, just tell us where to stand, you know? I mean, just tell us where to stand and what a smile, right? That's kind of what I remember about that particular day. Again, it was a beautiful day and a wonderful day. But the commitment didn't begin at the ceremony. It began at the choice of being her husband. It began with the choice, right? Marriage wasn't the ceremony. It was the choice of being her husband and her being my wife. And then that day, I remember getting rings, right? I remember that day. I remember getting rings and exchanging rings. And the ring doesn't make me married. The ring reminds me of the choice that I made. Reminds me of the commitment that I made. And that choice, well, that choice sets the direction for my everyday life from there on out. And we all have made commitments, as I talked about. But a lot of us don't realize that our commitments are only as strong as the choices that set them. Every commitment begins with the choice. And our choices, little do we realize, our choices, they shape who we are. They shape who we become, and they shape how we live. And so this year, when we talked about last week in our sermon on Proverbs chapter 3, that being the framework of our whole entire year, trust the Lord, lean not on your own understanding in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn from evil. It will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. What we talked about, this will be the framework of our year. It's the year of trust. It's the year where it's our ultimate choice. And our ultimate choice is this, friends, to commit to Christ, to grow in Christ, and to walk with Christ every step of the way, right? If this is your ultimate choice, if this starts here, if you could bring that up on the screen for the merit, to commit to Christ, to grow in Christ, and to walk with Christ every step of the way, right? Right, there's a lot of choices you're going to have to make this year, right? Some of them are small. Some of them are pretty vital and important. But this choice, the choice of committing your life to him, your choice not just to commit but to grow in him, right? And not just to grow with him but to walk in him, walk with him every step of the way. Well, friends, the life that you and I ultimately lead begins with this choice. It begins with this choice, to commit to Christ, to grow in Christ, and to walk with Christ every step of the way. And so Jesus helps frame what that looks like in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, this is the Gospel of John. This is the fourth gospel that we find in the Bible, the Gospel of John. It is a wonderful artwork. The Gospels are nothing but the life, death, and the resurrection, the biography of the life of Jesus Christ. And John, along like with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, writes from his own perspective. And his perspective that he writes is a wonderful perspective. But then we get to this portion here in John chapter 15. This is pivotal moments that John is pinning down for us. These are hours. We're reading right here. This is hours before Jesus is betrayed, arrested, and eventually murdered. Right? Betrayed, arrested, and murdered. But here he is speaking to his disciples, the ones who are following him, and he's giving them instructions on what it looks like to follow him. Hours before Jesus dies, here he is giving encouragement. This is what we call the final discourse or the farewell discourse of Scripture. If you're into theology, this is what we call it. This is Jesus giving his final instructions. And let's read again what Jesus says in John 15, beginning at verse 1. He says this. He says, I am, or in the Greek, ego eimi, very important language there. I am the true vine. Notice he emphasized the emphasis on true, right? The true vine, meaning that there are false vines out there, right? There are false vines out there. He says, I am the true vine, right? And my Father is the keeper of the vineyard. Verse 2, he says this. He says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, but every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it even more fruitful. Let's stop there. Look what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is helping us to understand what it looks like to walk with God. Remember, we talked about that this year is about committing to Christ, growing with Christ, and walking with him, right? And what is Jesus doing here? He's framing what our relationship looks like with him. He defines the relationship. My son lately, he's about to turn 6. Pray for us, y'all. And 6-year-olds act like they're 16 years old. For some reason, toddlers like to like jump to like teenagers. I don't know what it is. Keith, you're shaking your head back there. You get it, right? He's starting to talk back to us. I don't know where he got this from. I think he's been hanging out with his mom a little too much, but he's starting to talk back to us a little bit too much, right? The other day, he had the nerve to tell my wife, I heard him from the other room, he had the nerve to tell my wife, I don't have to do that. And I'm not lying to you. I've almost busted down the door and said, you don't have to do what? You don't have to do, who do you think you're talking to? And then he had the nerve. The Bible verse, spare the rod, spoil the child. You know what I mean? That verse almost got practiced that day. He said, I don't have to listen to you, Dad. Mm-hmm. I almost called the Carlisles to come pick him up. Yeah. Carly, I was gonna call you. Y'all gonna get a fourth boy. Okay, he's gonna look a little different, but y'all was gonna get a fourth boy. Okay, right? It was interesting what he was doing in that moment. He didn't understand the order of the relationship. He thought he can define what our relationship looks like. He thought like, oh, you know, I can tell you what I want, right? Right? And he doesn't realize, son, you're not king. I am Alpha. You are not even on the alphabet list, bro. You are nowhere near on. I am the Alpha. You are low. Do you hear me? Right? And I find it interesting. I love what Jesus says this. Jesus describes who he is and who we are. And look at what he says. He says, I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branch, which means this. You are not the vine. Right? God is not the branch, right? And I think it's important that we really look at this text in its totality. Because if I'm not careful in my walk with God this year, I'm going to be tempted to reduce God based off my own preferences. Am I right? And sometimes I'll reduce God all the way to a God who just comforts me, not a God who confronts me. Am I right? We all do it, right? Hey, I want to reduce God to based off what I want. I want to reduce God based off my image. I want to reduce God just to give me an easy, comfortable life, right? But Jesus says, here's the one thing you need to get right, who I am and who you are. Because you won't know who you are, you won't truly understand your part unless you begin with him. Does that make sense? See, we live in a world where we're trying to find ourselves. We try to find ourselves in relationships. We try to find ourselves in our careers by getting more education. But Jesus says, your true you is you with me. And it begins with me. It begins with me. Jesus helps frame to us what it looks like to follow him. And God is not shaped by our preferences. We are shaped by his working. We are shaped by his working. God doesn't bend to us, but rather he builds within us. And so Jesus helps set the stage. Hey, listen, you want to get things right? You got to put me in the right place. And here's what he says. He says, I am the vine. Now, I'm not a farmer, as you guys can tell, right? Just a friendly neighborhood pastor here, you know, with glasses, you know, right? I'm not a farmer, but But Jesus loves to use this language, this analogy, in a metaphoric way to help aim to a reality, aim to a specific truth, right? When Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. What he's saying is, beginning with him, and he says, I am the vine, he's saying, I am the one who supplies you life, right? Now, think about this language that Jesus is using. He's saying, he supplies the life we need, which means this: we can't produce life, meaning, apart from him. He supplies it, right? Right. He supplies it. He is the source. And the branches do branches things. Again, I know I sound ignorant when I say this, but the branches do branches things, not because of the branch, because of the vine. It's not the branch that makes it the branch. It's because of where the branch is planted. It's what makes it the branch. It's what makes it function. It's what makes it produce. This is what Jesus is saying to each and every one of us. You know, the basic human desire in all of us is to be productive. I've noticed that. We all just want our lives to count. We want our lives to count for something. We all want meaning in somehow, in some way. The basic human desire is production. And we want to create a version of ourselves where we are at our best, don't we? We just want to be better moms, better dads, better husbands, better friends, better wives, right? We all want to create this version of ourselves for the sake of our careers, for our relationships, of many other gifts that we have in our lives. But according to Jesus, listen to what Jesus says. You are at your best connected to him. That's what he says. I am the vine. You are the branch. A branch doesn't produce grapes or doesn't produce apples or oranges or any of the branch things that it's supposed to do unless it's what? Connected to the vine. You are at your best, friends, when you're connected to Jesus. You function at your true self. You find yourself when you're connected to him. And Jesus says that a productive life, which we all want, a productive life is a dependent one. A productive life is a dependent life. Life begins with dependence. Jesus is the vine, meaning Christ supplies us the life we need. And if a branch is cut off from the vine, it's no longer a branch. It doesn't have life. And in the same way, what Jesus is trying to produce in each and every one of us in our minds, that if we lose connection to him, we lose focus, production, and direction ourselves. That's what Jesus says. Now, Jesus isn't trying to be arrogant in this moment. Jesus is just expressing the reality of your life. Friends, you cannot function without being rooted in Jesus Christ. Right? You can't, and maybe I can speak for myself, because I don't know where you are in your walk of faith today. Maybe, because I noticed Jesus says, you got to be connected to him, not just close to him. Because there's a difference. There's a difference between being close to Jesus and connected to him. Connection involves devotion. Connection involves daily activity. And it involves a mental aspect. It involves us thinking, striving, seeking. We talked about that last week. Loving, devoting, and being rooted and connected to him, right? And life only makes sense when Jesus is the reference point. Life only makes sense when Jesus is the reference point. Our purpose, our identity, are best understood through him. Right? Because the true you is Christ in you. It's Christ in you. Choice number one this year, make Jesus the source. Make Jesus the source. That means this: you are not the source. That means this: others, they are not the source. We make Jesus the source. Commit to that this year, friends, right? Commit to making Jesus a source, making the one who you get all your nourishment, all of what you need begins with him, right? That's what Jesus said. And so Jesus states this reality. And then Jesus states the second reality. He says, I am the vine. I am the vine. And now he moves on in verse 1. Now he moves on. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the keeper of the vineyard. Or some translations may say the vine dresser, right? Right, the vine dresser. So now, one thing you need to know, again, I'm sorry for my ignorance. Not a farmer here, just a pastor, right? But Jesus speaks of this vineyard. And in his vineyard, you have particular plants and trees and all of that. But here's the truth, friends. While the branch only produces life because it's connected to the vine, someone has to be tending to the branch so it can continue to grow. And what is that? That's the responsibility of the keeper. This is the Father's activity, right? Right here at Christ Church, we're Trinitarians, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? But don't get too tied up in that right now. But what Jesus is trying to say in this moment, he says this, that God the Father, what he does in our lives as we connect and are rooted in him, the service that the Father provides is to make sure that we, the branches, continually grow. See, here's the thing, friends. God loves you way too much to leave you as you are. He wants you to grow more. More. And more. For more faith. For more depth. For the sake of more. Right? Now, this idea of the keeper or the farmer, but what they would do is they would ensure that the very vine or the branches, all of that, it had the right soil, it got the right light, it protected it from any pest or diseases or any weeds. So it would literally go up to the tree and it would inspect. This is what it's like. This is what God the Father does in our own lives. Just when you think God is far from you. Now God is tending towards the care of your soul is what Jesus is trying to say. He's inspecting for things that are keeping you from growing. He's inspecting for pests. We got a lot of pests in our lives. Don't look at the person next to you. But we got a lot of pests in our lives, right? He's looking for the diseases. Because notice that Jesus says in this particular passage, he says, every branch in me that bears no fruit, he cuts off. He doesn't say this for the sake of condemning, but he says this to say that the Father draws near to remove anything that's draining the plant's energy. Right? This involvement isn't for the sake of direction, but it's for the sake of transformation. Here's how God's going to work in your life as you root yourself in Jesus Christ, as you connect to Christ. God grows you by subtracting what keeps you stuck. God's going to grow you by subtracting the things that keep you stuck. Should we take the time and talk about some of those things right now? I think we should. Are you ready to feel convicted? All right. No? I'm going to talk about them anyway, right? Because if we can't just be honest, friends, you know, growth, right, it begins with removing, right? Removing for the sake of building, right? Think of it like renovation, right? I love watching Chip and Joanna, the show. You know, they go in there, they look take these homes, and they make them look better, right? They go in there and they do some demolition, right? They do some demolition to the walls and to the to the floors and to the roof, and they replace things, and they make it look spiffy, and they make it look nice, and they make it look presentable, and they make it look to the point where the person, what they see, it's appealing, and it stands out in the same way. God works in our soul as we connect to Christ to do some renovation. Because the truth of the matter is, friends, as much as you want to grow, God wants you to grow. And the only way to grow is understanding his work that he wants to do in you, right? Because there are some things that if we're not careful, that would keep us from growing. Things like entitlement. Got real quiet after that. Should I do a sermon on entitlement one day? I'll do really good at that because I am a professional entitler. I don't know how to say it. But anyway, I'm a professional at entitlement, right? Things got to be my way. They got to play the songs that I like to listen to. They got to do things how I want it to be done. Hey, that's not fair. I deserve this, right? How about some other things that keep us stuck? You know what keeps us stuck? And I'll say this every time that I have the chance to bring it up, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will keep you stuck. You'll be in your 50s and still hurt over things that happened in your teenage years. Right? And he wants to remove the things that keep you stuck. Right? Maybe it might be unforgiveness. Right? Maybe it might be, and maybe this is just for me, and I don't know why I love talking about this topic. Not that I love talking about it, but laziness. The spirit of laziness. Because one thing I'm really good at is making excuses. One thing I'm really good at saying is, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll call next week. And then my wife said, did you make an eye appointment? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Oh, really? Really, right? Yeah, well, yeah. I love to push things aside, right? Now, I've noticed the things, and I want to say this before we move on, the things that keep us stuck, the things that keep us stuck, listen to this, friends, the things that keep us stuck, all of them have one thing in common, ego. It has all to do with ego. And there's one thing that I notice God wants to chip away more and more at in your life. There's one thing God wants to kill and destroy in your life is your ego. Because where ego lives, right, the branch dies. The branch can't flourish. And God is committed. Just as much as we commit to the Lord, Jesus says the Father is committed to remove the ego that wants to creep up inside and present itself every day. You want to know the one thing that ruins marriages? Ego. You want to know one thing that ruins families? Ego. You know the one thing that splits relationships? Ego. All comes down to the ego, right? And the Father is after the thing in a divine, loving way to remove the things so that what he removes, Christ may replace more and more. More and more. This is the reality. Jesus says that the Father tends to us. And point number two, here's the second point that I want to make. Rest in the Father's care. Stay in the Father's hands. Right? This year, commit to God, what do you need to work in my heart? That's what I want you to commit to this year, friends. Right? As you choose and make Jesus the source, number two, stay in the Father's care. Because the only good you're going to produce this year is with God. And it starts with him. And it ends with him, and it continues with him, right? It's the good work he wants to produce more and more within us. And so Jesus says, friends, we experience this working. We experience all of this when we do this. Verse number four, Jesus says it, very famous verse. He says, because the Father is the keeper, and I am the vine, we work together ensuring your growth and your maturity. Because here's the truth, friends. This year, it's all about maturity. It's not about getting my way, but it's about growing in a Christ-like way. And he says, how do we do that? He says it in verse 4, remain in me. Remain in me. If you have the ESV, it says, abide in me. I love the ESV, how it says it. Abide in me, and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains or abides in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, they will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? Listen to that language. He says, because of who I am, this is what you need to do. Remain and abide in me. Another way to say this is to make your home. And what's the goal? What's the central aim to remain in Christ? Well, the central aim is this language. Some of you may be unfamiliar with it, called fruitfulness. Now, some of you might be like, wait, what does that actually mean? In a way, fruitfulness is the life of Jesus in us. And what it is, it's evidence of God at work through us, right? It's evidence. Fruit is evidence that you're connected to the root. Does that make sense? Fruit, it's just evidence of your connection to God, right? Right? And fruitfulness, in a biblical sense, it means becoming like Jesus, growing with him, growing by him, and him growing in us more and more. Right? My son, it's so funny. I told you earlier that he's kind of giving us attitude, and then, you know, he had another day, you know, he had another instance where he was giving my wife attitude. It's always the boys that give moms the hardest time. I just noticed that, right? Somebody turned, looked at their mom like, I'm so sorry. right? Why is it boys, like, they always give their moms the hardest time? I don't know why, right? And they're just, he's going at it with my wife. And I mean, he's only five, and he's talking like he's 14. He's just going at it, and all I hear, he keeps calling my wife bro. Now, I just got my glasses. I did the good old, excuse me. I've been loving doing that lately with my glasses. He kept calling my wife bro. He said, bro, I don't want to do that. Bro, like back off, bro. You should have seen me again. I marched in there looking like Black Panther. I said, what did you say to my wife? Flex my little muscles at him. I said, what did you say to my wife? I said, where did you learn that from? He said, from you. I said, I've never said that, bro. And then I was like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. let me think about it, right? His language, his life is evidence of his connection to me, right? His language, his life, his talk, his speech, the way, what he does, how he moves, everything. It's evidence. This is my dad. I've been around this guy a lot. Right? Pray for him, y'all. and in the same way, when we abide or remain in Christ, we bear this thing called fruit. It is just God at work in our souls, and we produce Christ-likeness, and it is evidence of our connection to him. Meaning this, friends, when you are rooted in Jesus, you don't stay the same. There's evidence of Christ working in your soul. And this is the fruits of the Spirit. And here's the thing about the fruits of the Spirit. It's something we cannot produce on our own, right? Galatians chapter 5, this is written by the Apostle Paul. He writes this, Galatians chapter 5, 22. He says, but this is the fruits of the Spirit. This is the fruit God wants to produce in your life. Love. Because I can be unloving at times, friends. Right? To produce the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, because I can be a buzzkill, right? I can make it hard to be around sometime, right? Joy, peace. How about this? Patience. As you root in Christ, you become a more patient person. Right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. This one, I know this one's hard. The next one, verse 23. Self-control. Right? See, this is what Christ implants in us as we are rooted in him. And here's the reason why I believe Jesus says we need to do this, so we don't waste our lives. You got a long year ahead of you, but you can waste it as well. And you can waste it thinking you're the vine, or approval is the vine, or money is the vine, right? And Jesus says all of this for your good, so you don't waste your year. So that next year, you don't say to yourself, I'm the same as I was last year. I'm just as unloving. I'm always trapped in anger. I'm always somebody that's resorting to excuses. But rather, the image of Christ, by next year, the image of Christ is imprinted and marked in me more and more. Right? Number three, commit to become like Jesus this year, friends. Commit to become like Jesus this year. That's our goal, right? That's our goal this year, is to become like Christ, right? Listen, there's going to be a lot of things you want, but can I tell you, this is what you ultimately need, right? Think about how healthier things would be if this was our practice, if this was our aim. I'm not saying things are going to be perfect, but I can tell you right now, I can make progress with doing this. I can make a lot of progress doing this, right? How can I be more like Christ when it comes to my wife? Because there's one thing that I love to do is to serve myself. One thing I love to do is to make me the center of the story. But how can I serve? How can I serve my children better? How can I really own the role of leading and pastoring when this is the central focus? When this is the central focus, make Jesus the source. Make Jesus the source. Number one, make Jesus the source. Number two, remain in the Father's care. And number three, commit to become like Jesus. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? Here it is again. If you were with us last week, we talked about that the great temptation of this year is to do life on our own. It's thinking that we don't need God. It's thinking that we only need God for certain things. But Jesus says, no, here's the reality. You are a needy person and you need him for all things. Right? Right? See, here's the thing about self-reliance. It'll get you by, but it won't get you far. Relying on your own strength, relying on your own wisdom, relying on it'll get you by, but it won't get you far. And last but not least, I want to encourage you with this. I want to challenge you with this. Choose self-denial over self-reliance. Because Jesus says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Lower yourself. And this is the life, and this is what our year can look like when we make these principles our core practice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that upon the riches of this text, we would understand without a doubt, we can do nothing without you. If there's anything we get out of today, Lord, is that we would feel the weight of our insufficiency, but even more, the greater weight of your sufficiency. That we would feel the weight that this life that I'm striving and I'm living, nothing is accomplished or built well unless I'm connected to you. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, this would not just be a good idea, but this would become the way of life. This wouldn't just be a message that we hear, but rather it would be your way of inviting us into a life where we are growing and producing and maturing in a way we would never on our own. You are the sufficient one, not us. You are the vine. Life only makes sense when you are the reference point, when you are the source. So, Lord, help us to feel the weight of that. And let this be a moment where we hear your gentle spirit moving us towards you more. This is an invitation from the Lord himself. Jesus, as you call yourself the vine, this is you saying, come and abide in me. Remain in me. You're trying to grow on your own. You're trying to lead your own life, but you're not getting far. You keep going in circles, round and round. And Jesus, this is your gentle invitation to say, abide in the vine and let the Father care for your soul. Let the Father look at the things with deep within and bring health. Because you need the vine, but you also need the Father's care. Help us this year. We love you. And based off this passage, we absolutely need you. Grant us this, I pray. In your Son's perfect name, amen.